The text for the sermon this morning is 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5. Love does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, Christian love leads us to conduct ourselves in a way that is not rude. Christian love is the opposite of all inappropriate, disgraceful, shameful behavior. The Greek verb here at the beginning of verse 5 in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is derived from words which mean against the scheme. It is used in Romans chapter 1 verse 27 when the Lord says, "Likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men, committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due." Homosexuality is against God's scheme. The way God created man, male and female, and against his creation ordinance of holy marriage between one man and one woman. Homosexuals claim that they are loving people. But here in our text, the Lord says that Christian love does not behave in any indecent, inappropriate, disgraceful, shameful way. And the Lord says in Romans 1, verse 27, that homosexuality is such a behavior. There are many other less serious ways that our behavior can be against God's scheme. Christian love will never allow us to act that way. Christian love keeps us from deficiencies and shortcomings. How many of those deficiencies and shortcomings there are, and how often we are guilty of such things. God's sanctifying work in his people touches every corner of our thinking and our behavior. It needs to, because sin has infected every aspect, every nook and cranny of our thinking and behavior, and has so invaded our whole nature and our whole person that we need God's grace to reach every part. We are totally depraved. That does not mean that we are as completely corrupt as we could be. It means that every part of our nature and being is corrupted and defiled by sin. Even things that we might not imagine are corrupted are nonetheless affected. Just as God's forgiveness goes as high and as deep and as wide as our sin, so God's sanctifying work by his Holy Spirit goes as high and as deep and as wide as our need. The Lord sanctifies the whole of our person. This rudeness is not necessarily gross sin. In Christ, by his Spirit, God not only makes us holy, he also makes us polite, well-mannered, pleasant. He not only subdues sin and promotes holiness and Christian graces, the Lord also changes our very attitude, our behavior, and how we treat others, and how we come across to people. Love does not behave rudely. God's work to save us from our sins and from ourselves, and to restore God's own image in us and make us like our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, is complete and it is thorough. God not only saves sinners and makes them holy, but He also makes them to have a character and a behavior that is polite, mannered, gracious, easy to get along with. What is God talking about here in our text? Love does not behave rudely. The Lord says in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8, "Finally, all of you, be of one mind, have compassion for one another, love as brothers, be tender-hearted, be courteous, not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing." Be courteous. If you are not courteous, it is not very nice. Be considerate. Be polite, thoughtful, respectful. That is Christian because Christian love requires that. We should be concerned not to upset or offend people. We should avoid being rude, brusque, offhand. Sometimes people give the excuse, "Oh, well, that is just them. They are just like that." In our text, God is saying that no Christian should be like that. Love does not behave rudely. There is no excuse for being like that in your nature or your attitude because you're just wired like that. God wants you to be rewired so that you do not come across rudely, disrespectfully, dishonorably. Oh, what has gotten into him? What is wrong with her? You should think, that is not Christian. You do not behave rudely, indecently, and leave people wondering what you are doing and saying. People should not be asking, what is the matter? Here in our text, the Lord is speaking about a grace that leads to graciousness in every way and will only edify or build up others, especially believers. It will be a tremendous witness to those who are not converted. It would not be helpful to be boorish and miserable and offhand and sharp and rude. That would be off-putting. Non-Christians do not understand grace, but they do understand considerateness, politeness, and being thoughtful about others. Christian courtesy that the Lord works in His people is a tremendous witness. It is not being middle class or upper class. It is being biblical. It is being gracious. It is not a class thing at all. It is a Christian thing. Where the gospel has come and affected society as it has affected our society in this country, many people learn to live with courtesy and politeness and friendliness. Even non-Christians can be genuinely courteous and friendly. That is how the Bible affects people and society. It must certainly affect Christians who are spiritually alive and in union with Jesus Christ, and seeking to grow in grace and in knowledge of Him. Are there circumstances in which there are exceptions to this? For example, sometimes it is necessary to speak plainly to somebody in order to reprove and correct. That may offend and upset. But even this is not behaving rudely. The Lord is concerned with how we reprove and correct. Christian love does not rejoice in iniquity, we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 6, but it rejoices in the truth. Christian love is faithful enough to point out things when necessary, but in a spirit of love, gentleness, kindness. If there is upset, it is not the fault of the person who in Christian love has done the gentle reproving and correcting. It is the truth of God in love. If it is not done in this loving way, it is much less likely to be effective. But if it is done in this loving way, it is much less likely to offend and to be received in the spirit in which it was given. Think about the impact that we have on others by what we say or do. Do we think about this? Love does not behave rudely. It can be thoughtlessness that led us to react that way, or to dismiss that person the way we did, or to say that silly thing that now has done harm. Love always considers the effect upon others. If you are not puffed up with your own self-importance, you will value other people as important and be concerned for them and not tread on their sensibilities. Be considerate of other people and their well-being. We have an example of this in the prophet Elijah. When he was at his lowest point, he considered another person. In 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 3 and 4, Elijah is completely broken down emotionally by the threat of death from Queen Jezebel, the wife of King Ahab. Elijah is running for his life, and he is at Beersheba and wants to go further into the wilderness. He left his servant in Beersheba. He himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree. Why did he leave his servant in Beersheba and go himself into the wilderness? He did not want his servant to be affected by his depression and his misery and almost despair. He would spare his young servant and not put this upon him. That is considerate. There is a place for unburdening ourselves to others. Christian fellowship is about bearing one another's burdens, but there are times when we must consider that it might be unkind to do it too much over a particular matter. To so weigh down someone else with how we are feeling that we drag them down with us. There are times when we must spare them a little. In Psalm 73, verse 15, the Lord Jesus Christ says, "If I had said, I will speak thus, behold, I would have been untrue to the generation of your children." So our Savior did not tell other believers, but he told his Father in heaven, sometimes there is a place for that, sparing others. In 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 13, the Apostle Paul speaks of food offered to idols, and then that food was sold in the marketplace. And he says, "Therefore, if food makes my brother stumble, I will never again eat meat, lest I make my brother stumble." Love considers the feelings and the conscience of others. We should be willing not to eat meat if it makes our brother stumble. We should not vaunt our liberty before others. That is a very blessed and lovely thing. Christians who drink alcohol will not drink it in front of those who do not drink by conviction. Love that does not behave rudely considers others. Second, this morning, who is this for? Love does not behave rudely. Who of us needs to be very careful not to behave rudely? No Christian should behave rudely. But there are particular types of people who should especially beware. Those with a sense of humor should especially be careful not to behave rudely. A sense of humor is a great blessing. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 13 says, "A merry heart makes a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of heart the spirit is broken." And verse 15, "All the days of the afflicted are evil, but he who is of a merry heart has a continual feast." Proverbs 17, verse 22, "A merry heart does good like medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones." A laugh changes things. It releases tension. It relaxes you and makes you feel better. It is a great blessing from the Lord. Christians should not be miserable. The Lord gives humor and laughter. But there is a danger if you are given too much of it, because it can lead to careless bantering or jokes that upset other people, and you have trodden on sensibilities. Love does not behave rudely. You can even stray into being risque, suggestive, without meaning to do so. Words that are spoken cannot be taken back. Love does not behave rudely. Be very careful. You can say things that are just not helpful. There is a time to laugh. There is a time to mourn. If people do not particularly have a happy heart and there is laughter and joking, that can be really unhelpful. There is sanctified humor. Let us have plenty of it, as long as it is sanctified and in its place. Love does not behave rudely. Oh, some things that have been said and laughed about in the presence of certain Christians have done so much harm. Have a sense of humor and a gracious self-control. Second, those who are given to blunt speaking. Some people pride themselves on blunt speaking, saying what I mean, not hiding it. No beating around the bush. That is fine, as long as it is tempered and sweetened with the grace of love, so that it is not unseemly bluntness that hurts people and is downright rude and could well have been put in another way. Do you see how God's grace reaches every area and is designed to sanctify us in every way? A third category of person is those who love to share their feelings. Some people have that temperament. They wear their heart on their sleeve. Everything comes out. Nothing is kept in. You know everything before long. It is their release. It is a great comfort to be able to share. Christian fellowship includes sharing, especially when there are troubles, heartaches, and burdens. It is a great thing to be able to share our burden with sympathetic people. We should be sympathetic people who are always ready to hear and to bear one another's burdens. Fellowship thrives where there is sharing. It is not a good thing. If anybody feels that they dare not share something that is very hard to bear, but must keep it bottled up. In a Christian fellowship where there is love, there will be those who are very willing to bear others' burdens and to be a sympathetic listener who comforts and encourages. You do not need to have all the answers. But just to listen lovingly and understandingly and say, I will pray for you, is a great blessing. Some people thrive on sharing with loving and sympathetic and understanding listeners. There is a danger. You can go too far. You can share too much. Personal things are divulged that should not be. Things that should remain private are shared inappropriately and indecently. There is an unseemly exposure of the mind, not just the body. We must be very careful. Love does not behave disgracefully, indecently. There is a seemly way to speak to others about personal things. We need to exercise great care. Fourth, those who by nature are reserved and keep things to themselves and would rather not talk about personal matters also need to pay particular attention that they do not behave rudely. They keep it all in and live with it and seek to deal with it as best they can. If anyone questions them, they are resentful. They see it as an intrusion. They think they can care for themselves. The danger is that you can be governed by moods. If you are feeling cheerful and you are coping with your problems, then you are friendly to others. If your problems are getting the better of you and you are not coping well with them and you are distracted by them, then you can be unfriendly and dismissive and not very gracious or caring at all with others. One day you are cheerful, and the next day you are cranky. That is not polite. It leaves people thinking, have I said something wrong? What have I done? It is not clear what the person is thinking. People feel guilty as if they did something wrong in speaking or in relating to such a person. They question where they stand with that person. They fret over what the person will be like the next time they meet. A moody person frays relationships and makes other people uncomfortable so that they worry about the strained relationship. And that is unkind. We should not be governed by moods. We should be governed by principle at all times. Even if we are feeling wretched, we still have the duty of Christian love. And that duty requires us to be gracious and honorable and polite and decent. To behave rudely does not cultivate close fellowship. These are searching things. God's word touches every part of us. Fifth, those who are talkative, chatty, who love to talk all the time, whose tongue runs away, should be careful not to behave rudely. God has given the gift of talking. It is wonderful to talk about anything and everything as long as it is right. The danger is that we tend not to think in all the torrents of words that we speak. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 19 says, in the multitude of words, sin is not lacking, but he who restrains his lips is wise. Oh, too far, too much, and it is too late. Why did I not keep my mouth shut? Why did I not hold my tongue in and bite it? James chapter 3 says the tongue, though a very small member of our body, has such great power. It is like the bridle in a horse's mouth that turns the animal either way and steers the whole animal. The tongue is like the rudder of a great ship, a very small thing that turns the whole ship in the water. This little member, this little thing that waggles in our mouths and helps form words, has catastrophic consequences for ourselves and others if we say wrong words. Love makes us pray, O God, keep my tongue. Help me to set a watch over the door of my lips and be careful in what I say. Whatever kind of person we are, whether we share our feelings or we keep them in to ourselves, it is still possible to sin with the tongue. James chapter 3 goes on to say that if by God's grace I control my tongue, then my whole life is under control. If God gives grace to be careful and gracious and measured in our speech, it tends to affect every other part of our behavior. The key is the tongue. Love does not behave rudely is for all of us, whatever kind of person we are. It might seem that this is just a list of things we should do and things we should not do so that we relate well to other people. No, no. This is who Jesus Christ is. This is what it means to be like our Savior, the Lord Jesus, and to be conformed to His holy image. This is Christian love. This is the greatest of all Christian graces. This is not just human politeness. These things are what the saving grace of Almighty God always produces in us by the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit of God. Only a real Christian can know what it means not to behave rudely. We do not have this in us by nature. By nature, we are totally depraved. That is, we are corrupted in every area of our being, our thought, our imagination, our motives, our feelings, our words, our conduct. Every aspect of us is corrupted, and it is wrecked by original sin. We are not graceful and polite by nature at all. Left to ourselves, we will be indecent and rude. We will be unkind and thoughtless. We will be brusque and off-putting. That is what we are like. Every other sin imaginable is in our nature. We do not have love in us. We are not able to summon our better side so that we will be loving in any of these ways that are set before us here in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We have no love in our nature whatsoever. We have nothing of this, only its exact and depraved and vile opposite. Do not think that other people are able not to be rude. They are nice people. But I struggle. No, no. All of us have the same problem. Even those who seem nice at certain times can be very rude in the right provocation and in the right circumstances. This is not a natural thing. Everything about us is nothing but sin and wickedness and evil. And God, in His grace, by His Holy Spirit, gives us a new nature. He gives us a new heart. He gives us a new will, a new mind, a new life. The Holy Spirit of God dwells in us and enables us to be different, but only by God's grace. How can we be loving and not behave rudely? Proverbs chapter 12, verse 12 says, "The root of the righteous yields fruit." The righteous are those who are justified by faith in Jesus Christ. God accepts them in Christ's righteousness. And in Christ, they stand before God without any sin, and they yield fruit. We're talking about fruit. What is produced? In the natural world, fruit comes inevitably. You cannot even watch it happening. It is so gradual. If a vine is alive, it will produce the flower, and the flower will set fruit, and the fruit will grow and develop and mature. It is inevitable if it is alive. It is the fruit. You do not say, "I must get grapes. How do I get grapes?" No, grapes come because there is life. There is the root and the stalk and the branches and the leaves and the fruit. Life produces fruit. You do not say, "How do I get love? I must be loving. I must not behave rudely." It's not like that. You will find that it will come inevitably as fruit because of the root. What is the root of the righteous that inevitably produces the fruit of these lovely things? The Lord Jesus Christ is the root, and He is the vine to which the Spirit of God joins us by true and living faith. A real Christian is rooted in Christ. He is in spiritual union and oneness with the Savior, Jesus Christ. And therefore, as Jesus says in John chapter 15, like the branches of the vine, we receive life from Christ. We receive nutrients and sap from Him. And we receive everything necessary for growth and for productiveness and for fruit from Him. If we are alive in Christ, He gives us His Holy Spirit. He gives us His grace and His help, and He works these things into us. If you are concentrating upon your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ through union and communion with Him, you will find that He will make you like Himself. It cannot be any other way. You will grow into His likeness. You will think about Him who was never rude. The Son of God incarnate in this world would never have given you even one disgraceful, rude look. His disciples never saw anything about Jesus except what was seemly, thoughtful, considerate, loving, kind, gracious, polite, courteous. Even though He was God in the flesh, without any sin, undefiled in heart and in thought and in deed, He treated sinful people so graciously, so gently, with such long suffering, with such considerateness. He spoke no rude words. He never treated anyone rudely or disgracefully. Christ Himself dwells in you if you are a Christian. The same Holy Spirit who dwells in Christ dwells in you. You are rooted in Christ. He will produce this love in you. It will come inevitably. Concentrate on knowing Christ, on walking with Jesus, on loving the Lord with all of your heart and serving Him and worshiping Him. He will produce this love in you. It is not legal rules. It is not self-help. It is not problem management. It is living fruit that is simply the result of being a Christian trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. When you walk with the Lord and you enjoy union with Christ and you keep up a good friendship and communion with Him, your whole life will show it in your attitude and your spirit and your conduct and your thoughts and your words. It will make you gracious rather than rude. Every Christian duty and responsibility and grace and quality and character trait grows out of life in Jesus Christ. It is produced as a result of oneness with Him as surely as the grape on the vine. Jesus said in John 15, verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. People look at Christians and they say, how are those Christians like that? They must work hard on themselves to get themselves to be as nice as that. I do not know how they do it. I could not be like that. Of course not. It's not just niceness that they're working hard at. It's that they know Christ. It is that He is wonderfully real to them in their experience. They have heart religion. He who died on the cross for them and redeemed them by His blood now is dwelling in them by His Holy Spirit and is weakening the working of sin in them and strengthening gracious things in them and changing them from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. It is a divine and supernatural work. Some people say, well, I would like to become a Christian. I would like to be a Christian. I could never keep it up. Of course you could not keep it up. You do not have to keep it up. If you are really converted and know the Lord Jesus Christ, He will keep it up. He will keep it up in you. It is divine, supernatural, gracious. It is a remarkable thing. We do fail in these things. Sometimes we forget that we are Christians when we are in certain conversations or certain circumstances. When we sin in this way or in other ways, the Lord convicts us. And then we come back to Him in prayer. And we confess our sin and our failure. Oh, Lord, I'm sorry I spoke like that. Oh, Lord, I'm sorry I said that about the civil rulers or about that person. I'm sorry I used that particular word or expression. It was unbecoming of me as a Christian. Please forgive me. Cleanse me. Give me grace not to do it again. All is not lost, but it is sanctifying. And we remember the one who dwells within, the one who is so near to us, nearer than any human being can be near to us. Keeping close to Him, we want to be like Him. He gives us grace. He gives us grace when we fail, and He restores us. He is working these things into us by His Word, which shows us these things and tells us these things, and by His Spirit, who enables us in these things. We are becoming more loving, as described here in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, which is nothing other than a description of the moral character of our Lord Jesus Christ. Do not come away from any of these sermons on 1 Corinthians 13 and say, oh, this is impossible. This is too much. I'm such a miserable failure. No, come away more concerned than ever to keep close to Jesus Christ and to pray and seek His grace and the help He promises and to ask Him to work these things in you and enable you to work them out in your life. You will find that you will. And you will find that you will grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You will find that he will be more real to you, and that he will be seen to be more real in your life and in mine. If you are not converted, ask the Lord to give you a new heart and to unite you to his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in true faith and in repentance unto life. Otherwise, you will be rude. And more importantly, you will have a rude awakening when you die. You will experience forever the just and the terrible wrath and judgment of a holy God upon you for your sin. Do not delay. Come to Jesus Christ. Trust in him. Cast yourself upon his mercy. Repent and believe, and he will forgive all your sins. He will make you and your life like his dearly beloved Son. Amen. Heavenly Father, you have made us in your image. We have corrupted that image. We have defiled and polluted it. And though there are some vestiges of that image that yet remain in all of us, some are this way and some are that way. Some have this virtue and some that virtue. Yet, Father, we all fall so far short of your glory and of Christian love, and of what you desire, and what you have created us to be. And we confess our failures and our sins and our lack of love toward you and toward one another. And we pray, O Lord our God, for grace. Grace that we may be, first of all, united to your Son and live out of him. And grace that we may then be conformed to his holy image, and that we may not only see and understand and experience more of your great love for us in Christ and in the Word and in your providence and in your sanctifying work by the Spirit, but also, Father, that we may show that love, that kindness, that graciousness, that restraint and considerateness in our interactions and relationships one with another. O Lord, forgive the words spoken that should not have been said. Forgive the hard attitudes and the thoughts that were rude and hurtful. Forgive, Father, all the many ways that we daily sin against you. And we pray, O God, that we may be more loving, and that we may be known by our love, and that our witness may be purer and truer, and by our lives, by our kindness, by our words, by our comfort and sympathy, others may be won unto Jesus Christ. Open our mouths with kindness and keep from us every evil and wicked way, we ask. For Jesus' sake, amen.